according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now, last Lord's Day, we began what is going to be just an overview of 1 and 2 Peter, and just focusing on various texts that are appropriate to prepare for coming to the Lord's Supper. Now, last week, we found that Peter was writing to Christians who were suffering. Throughout both epistles, references made to the trials, to the suffering, and to the persecution they were enduring. The first recipients of these letters, they were facing many different kind of trials, very similar to many of the trials that we face today in our lives. But in spite of their trials, and even in the midst of those trials, they were experiencing joy in Christ Jesus, and so should we. We're going to focus this morning on verses 8 and 9. It says here, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Now, just in those two verses, we are told of these believers, of their love for Christ, of their faith in Christ, of the joy they found in Christ, and what awaited them when the Lord Jesus returned. Particularly, Peter speaks here of their love for Christ. In verse 8, he says, and though you have not seen him, you love him. It's interesting, I find at least, that Peter specifically mentions that these believers had not seen Christ. And what is interesting about that is that Peter, of course, had seen the Lord Jesus. In Peter's second letter, he says this about seeing Christ. He says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So Peter, unlike these believers, he had seen the Lord Jesus, and he was an eyewitness of Christ's majesty. Specifically, he is talking there about being with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration when the divine glory of Christ was manifested. He heard the voice of God testifying of his beloved Son. You might remember that when the Apostle John wrote his epistle, he testified that he, along with the other apostles, which of course would include Peter, they had seen Christ, they had heard Christ, they had even touched Christ. He says in 1 John 1, he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Peter, along with the other apostles, they actually saw the Lord Jesus. They walked with Christ for over 3 years. Now here in verse 8, Peter tells his readers they didn't have that privilege that Peter had had. They had never seen the Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, having not seen the Lord Jesus, they still loved him. They believed in him, and they found all of their joy in him. Now, we can identify with those who first received this letter. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus either. Do you realize that we don't have the slightest idea of what the Lord Jesus looks like? I know there's all kinds of paintings of Christ, some very famous ones. Some right now are coming to your mind. But that's just some artist idea of what Jesus must have looked like. It's a picture of some Jew. That's all that is. We have no idea what the Lord Jesus looked like. We have no idea what his audible voice sounds like. The Lord Jesus, he walked the face of the earth 2,000 years ago. So don't you find it remarkable that in spite of this, that we have entrusted our eternal souls to him, that we are relying upon him, the one that we have never seen, that we are relying upon him to save us? Not only this, but in keeping with our text here, don't you find it remarkable? We have never seen him, never touched him, never heard his voice, and yet we love him. Don't you find it remarkable? That's the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. We actually love him more than we love those that we can see. We try to live our lives for him. It's our greatest ambition is to please him. We have assembled together on this, his day, in order to worship him. And we long for the day that he's going to come back, and we actually are going to see him on that day and live with him forever. Don't you find this amazing when you consider the fact that we've never seen him? Well, although we don't know what he looks like, we do know what he is like. And that's why we love him. And that's crucial. What he is like. For an example, Matthew 11, verse 19 says that he is a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. That came out of the mouths of his enemies. They meant it as a slur. And yet I would think that every one of us here finds the greatest comfort in those words. Because if the Lord Jesus is a friend of sinners, that means he's willing to be my friend too. That's what he's like. That chapter goes on to record the words of Jesus when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." That's what Jesus is like. Isaiah 42, verse 3, in keeping with that, says, "A bruised reed he'll not break, and a dimly burning wick he'll not extinguish." That's what he's like. He's so patient with us. He's a Savior who loves sinners. He's a Savior who loves us. And he loves us more than we can even begin to comprehend. He loves us so much that he was willing to suffer beyond our imagination of what he suffered, and he was willing to die for us. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." He says again, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us." Well, being so loved by him, once the Holy Spirit has awakened us, we can't help but love him in return. John says we love because he first loved us. And that's why these believers to whom Peter is writing, that's why, having not seen him, they loved him, because they knew they were loved by him. And that's why we love him. having not seen him, we love him because he first loved us. Do you remember the Lord Jesus questioning Peter's love for him? This was after the resurrection, and it was in light of Peter's threefold denial of the Lord Jesus. And remember that. When the test came, Peter denied knowing the Lord Jesus. He denied that in the front of the world, in the front of the enemies of Christ. So Jesus asked him three times over. Peter denied him three times. So Jesus asked Peter three times over if he actually loved him. Three times over, Peter confirmed his love for his Savior. And what Peter's denials show us, that even when we sincerely love the Lord Jesus, and Peter really loved the Lord Jesus, nevertheless, we can commit terribly unloving acts against him. Our comfort is, he knows our hearts. In that text in John 21, it says, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, and these are key words, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. How many times do our actions deny that we love him? Well, here's some comfort for us. We don't love him as much as we should. We don't even come close to it. Nevertheless, if you're a Christian, you do sincerely love the Lord Jesus, even when your actions would say otherwise. But here's the comfort. He knows your heart. And you can say those same words to the Lord Jesus as Peter said to them, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And every time we come to the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of our Savior's love for us. And being reminded of his love for us and how great that love is for us, it should deepen our love for him. Well, let's turn in our hymnals to sing about our love for him. Let's turn to 548. 548.